There's a river of life flowing right from me.
There's a river of life flowing on and me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. And it pours and it passes through. There's a river of life flowing up from me. Lame to walk and the blind.
Lord. He glad there's a river of life flowing. Praise God tonight. The Lord bless those that came along this evening. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight till Matthew 28, verse 6. I want to speak about the resurrection. I was going to talk a lot about the women, but I had prepared a bit. And then I started looking a bit at someone else. And, well, it's just a bit of both. But it is just the Lord will give us something tonight. And there's a couple of things I might say tonight, and you might have a different opinion than me on it. That's all right. You're entitled to your opinion. But remember, I'm also entitled to mine. That's the thing about it. But I don't think you will disagree, but I'm just saying, just giving you as a disclaimer right at the start. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Praise God. And you know, I don't know if the children got Easter eggs today or not, but I'll tell you, there was none in our house, and I was disappointed. And then there's one crept in the day at some stage. Big Easter egg, bro. It was great. I like my Easter eggs. Hello, trying not to eat too many of them. Praise God, I'm trying to shrink. Shrink is a tough job. I've got the first stone in, but I need to get about four more in. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Amen.
When you're young like you fellas, you can eat as many eggs as you want. It doesn't make any difference to the belt. But when you get older, if you eat too many, it makes an awful difference. All right. God's good, isn't it? Let's read Matthew 86, just one verse to start. Matthew 26, sorry, I said 86. Matthew 28, all over the show. Matthew 28, verse 6. Pray for the Lord to help me. Praise God. Matthew 28, verse 6. He's not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand before the Lord and we'll remember you in prayer this evening. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless. Praise God. God bless tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your word, for your truth. We thank you that we can come boldly into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, I know, Lord, that we can get familiar with each other, but I ask you to help me tonight. Pray, Lord, you'll help me that the people will not see me or look at me, but they'll just hear your word and rejoice in the things of God. And I pray for the hands that's raised tonight, that you'll meet every need. Answer every prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. We think again of Ruth's aunties this evening. We're asking you for your mercy and grace to heal them and save them. Jesus' precious name. Pray for those maybe that had to work tonight, couldn't be here tonight. Bless and strengthen them, meet their every need. Lord, for all our nurses and doctors, pray you bless them, strengthen them, be with them. Lord, and for your own people, Israel, tonight, bless and strengthen, we pray as well. And Father, for us here, close us in with time yourself. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. I cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination, and I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want tonight for a moment or two to talk about the resurrection. And all the four Gospels authors acknowledge Christ yielded up or gave up the ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us life freely. And we already saw many miracles that happened during the time of the crucifixion. The darkness in the day. The veil rending. The earthquake. And many, many more miracles that I haven't even mentioned. But there were so many miracles that happened. And many prophecies fulfilled about Jesus. And continued to be fulfilled to this day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John detailed one of them, the crucifixion, and spoke of it on the many hours it took place. We saw this morning it could be over a long time, and there's so many things could be said about the trials and so many different things. And sometimes in order to speed up the process and to make sure that the man was dead, because they could be on the cross a long time, and I briefly mentioned this morning, the soldiers would break the legs of the person on the cross to make sure they were dead. And if he hadn't yet died, the shock or the suffocation, and you say, brother, the suffocation, yes, because you think his legs is nailed, so he's pressing from his feet up to hold him up, but when you break the legs, everything just sinks down, and he literally suffocated to death. Now, the Lord didn't, but somebody on the cross whose legs are broken would have done. And these soldiers went round, they're breaking the legs, and we know that they broke the legs of the malefactors on the cross. And when I say malefactors, these are the men that's at each side of Jesus. Now, we always think of three crosses, but William Branham said there was four. He said there was the thief on each side of Jesus, but then he says Judas Iscariot also hung on a tree. So there was four. But I'm not time to go into that tonight, but I'm just mentioning it. The soldiers broke the legs of these two feasts that hang either side of Christ. Come with me to John 19, and I've lots of scriptures this evening, but our brother Matthew is good at putting them up. John 19, verse 31 to 33, and I'm not going to apologize because I'm using a lot of the Bible. I'm not using enough of it. I'll tell you that now. The idea of a preacher using too many scriptures is an absolute nonsense. You could have some old boy up and he's talking all himself. And it's nothing. Tell her, if you only came here and read the Bible, you'd be blessed. Especially the book of Revelation. It even says if you read it, you're blessed. Isn't that the truth? So we love the word of God. The Jews therefore, verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now, John's the only man that mentions this phrase. I'm going to deal with it a bit this evening. Remember, they weren't allowed to remain on the cross on a Sabbath day. For the Sabbath day was an high day. John's only man mentions that. Mark it. High day, because Pilate, that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which were crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw his leg, that he was already dead, they break not his legs. Now we know that one of the soldiers pierced his side. Now I'm not getting into the wounds tonight. I haven't time to do it. It's another sermon. I'm sticking with this. This fulfilled the prophecy foretold by the psalmist David in Psalms 34, verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them's broken. And you know, all other people on the cross, mostly someone would have been broken, but because of the words of the psalmist David prophesied hundreds of years before it, God's words fulfilled. And they never had to break the legs of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Christ coming off the cross. By the Jewish law, a man could not remain on the cross through the Sabbath. So it was not surprising that Joseph asked for the body of Jesus. And Joseph that I'm speaking up here this evening is Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew 27, verse 57 to 60. Let's read it. When the evening was come, there came a rich man. Now you could also take the thought, because there's another place said he made his grave with the rich and with the poor. And Joseph of Arimathea is a rich man named Joseph. He also himself was Jesus' disciple. And you know the Lord had secret disciples. And you know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And we're going to see that Nicodemus is involved here as well with Joseph. And he went to Pilate and he begged or craved for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in a rock. And he rolled a great stone over the door of the sepulchre and departed. So Jesus Christ was laid in a brand new tomb, which no one else had ever been laid in. Now the Gospel of Mark adds more comforting words in Mark 45, chapter 15, Mark. And when he knew it was up, the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen and took down and wrapped him in fine linen and laid him in the sepulchre, but hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. John 19, 39 to 40. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus. Who? Joseph and him. They took the body of Jesus and wound him in linen cloths with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. That's wonderful. Here is these two men, and you never hear much talk of these two men. Now you might say to me, Brother Tom, what about it? Well, I'll tell you what about it. And if you can't see it, I'm surprised. How come none of the disciples come and got him? The 12 of them. Here, these two fellas, you don't read very much about them. Been with them. But they're the men that come from. Isn't that right? So all these things is in here for a reason. If you go to Matthew 27, verse 62 to 66. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees come together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days he'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto him, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now we're Saturday, April 8th, AD 34, the Jewish Sabbath. Now the time that Jesus is put on the cross and the time that Jesus rises from the dead, many people say two nights should have been three. But I'm here to tell you this evening it was three. And I'm going to tell you how it was three. And you'll not read it three exactly, but it's three. God never makes a mistake. Now I've heard people saying it didn't have to be three, but I disagree with that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives a scripture that the Son of Man, like Jonah, must be 3 days and three nights. Not two. Luke 23, verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. You know, the women did as well. Now, when you come to April the 9th, it's a high day. And I want you to know that we read only in John. You will not read in the other scriptures. It's a high day. Only John mentions it. Thank God for John. This is the only one of the four Gospels that mentions or comments about the high day. John 19, 31, and the Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs be broken and took them down, and he was put in the tomb that evening. He never waited till the next day. He's put in. But he goes in on a Friday night, and he does Friday night and Saturday night, and he raises on Sunday morning. That's only two nights. And then one fella says he went in on Thursday night. He didn't. He never went in on Thursday night. But you'll just have to follow with us for a minute. I tell you, God's good. And I'll tell you one thing, in this Bible there's no mistakes. But some things you might have to search out. But if you're hungry enough to find them, God will show you them. It is really interesting that John said this would be known. The words of Christ. Matthew 12:40, for us Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. In the whale's belly showed the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. This is Christ's own words. I've actually heard preachers saying he didn't spend 3 nights. Well, they're wrong. You cannot take the words of Jesus Christ and change them. And even if it doesn't suit your pet doctrine or your own theory, that's all right. But you can't change it. It's 3 days and it's 3 nights. This is Christ's own words. Stating that he would be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. Yet it seems Christ only spent 2 nights in the tomb. Friday and Saturday nights. That's what it seems like. Until we consider the high day. And when we consider the high day, it was an extra day. And the high day is an extra day. And the high day is an extra day. Only every 4 years. And every 4 years you have the leap year. And every 4 years you have the high day. You have a double Sabbath. And because you have the double Sabbath, and this was the Jews' holiday time, they had 2 days for Sabbath instead of one that they normally would have had. So you have an extra day. So it's 3 days instead of the two. 3 nights instead of the two. I tell you, when you have to consider some of the Jews' calendars and these things, that extra day, every fourth year that is inserted to allow for the exact number of days that the earth revolves around the sun. We know that. That's why you have an extra day. Your leap year, your extra day every 4 years. How many knows that? Instead of inserting it at the end of February, as our present calendar system does, the Jews at that time tackled that extra date that accommodated every fourth year under their favorite holiday time of the year. That's when they had it. The Feast of the Passover. And that's how they had it and when they had it. And the extra time. They considered it a second Sabbath of the week. That's what they considered it. And if the weekend of Christ's crucifixion did indeed include a high day, then that would account for the third day in the tomb, in which the Lord Jesus prophesied himself that he was 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. And you know, just as on a regular Sabbath of the day before, on this high day, also Christ's body would have laid in the tomb, resting in the tomb. And there's so many scriptures for the women prepared before, so that they wouldn't be doing it on that day, because it's a rest day. Luke 23:56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now we're up to Sunday, April the 10th. Easter Sunday, the resurrection. Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Shalom, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. The women were concerned that there might not be someone to roll the large stone away that covered the entrance to the tomb. But they needn't have worried. We'll pick it up here in Matthew 28:1-8. Let's pick it up. Matthew 28:1-8. And then the end of the Sabbath that began to dawn toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene. Now this Mary Magdalene, the Lord cast demons out of this woman. And I tell you, she was glad. She was a follower of Jesus. She loved the Lord and Mary. And they come to this sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, but he's risen. As he said, come see the place where he laid. And I tell you, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus was risen. Jesus was no longer there. He was risen from the grave. And the stone didn't need to be rolled away to let him out. He was risen clean through stones and all. But this mighty angel from heaven, and he's glittering like the sun. What a powerful being he must have been. Man, I want you to think of it here this evening. This mighty one sitting on top of this rock, and he's shining. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, that drew their attention. I'll guarantee you that. And there they're looking at him. And here's the message in verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. And here this is remarkable. I was going to preach just on this bit, really, but then other thoughts. The women are the first ones to see Jesus. I want you to really get this evening, because there was a woman that first disobeyed. And God here, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the woman is the first one to see him after the resurrection. Isn't that the mercy of God? I tell you, that's something. What? It's not something you could say. You're the first one to see the Lord after he's risen. And I tell you, these women have been commissioned. Now I know we don't believe in women's been pastors and all them things, but they can go and tell it. Because the Bible says they can. Go and tell my disciples he's risen. Hallelujah. And Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. I tell you something. Now get a hold of this here this evening and give yourselves a shake and listen to this carefully here. For there's something in this. There's not a religious leader would have done it like this. This is the least of all women in their eyes. This woman's a demon's cast out of her. She's a nobody. Why did the Lord appear to her first? You tell me. I want to know. I'll tell you, he done it. He done it. See, sometimes we can have a sort of an opinion. We can get ourselves all sanctimonious, religious. And we can have an opinion. And the Lord couldn't talk to that woman or that man. Sure, like goodness me. I'll tell you, I've had experiences nigh this, nigh that, and it's all I. God can talk to whoever he wants. This is the thing about it, isn't it? Isn't this wonderful? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. This blessed me, he comes to this woman. Out of all the women, he comes to this woman. This is like the woman at the well. The known religious leaders would have went, they wouldn't have touched her with a barge pole. They wouldn't have went the road of her. What's Jesus say? I must needs go through Samaria. I guarantee you the disciples are scratching their heads. What's he think he's doing? Where's he going? But there's a woman down there. Now that woman wasn't the type of woman that you'd be associated with, but the Lord was coming to save her. And I don't want you ever to think that you have a loved one or you know someone. Oh, they're deep in sin, they're deep in this, they're deep in that. It makes no difference to God. He saves sinners. Every one of us is a ratchet. As ratchets could be before the Lord got a hold of us. Isn't that the truth? It's not about I, it's all about him. John 20:14, and when he had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Knew not that it was Jesus. Now we know that it was the women who was deceived at the very start and have said that in the human race. Look how significant that the woman should be the first to know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which was fulfilled God's promise to man after the sin, which he said the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis 3 verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise its heel. And that seed of the woman was ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ bruised Satan on the cross, and he trampled his head. He gave him the death blow. What a remarkable thing that the Lord appears to women first. And I tell you, I thank God for that. Go and tell my disciples. Now you know at the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many of them tried to spread lies and rumors that the Lord's not risen. And they've stolen away all sorts of stories. Just like the day, all sorts of stories are told. Why, I tell you, someone, you've no idea half of the stuff they tell about us here in this wee meeting. Some of the stories, I tell you, I couldn't believe some of them my own self, what they tell. Don't go down to that bunch. I don't know, I think there was a boy up here with horns on him, but that's some of the descriptions. That's the way they work. Anything to discredit the truth. But I'll tell you, if we were in some old dead denomination, it'd be great. And I'll tell you another thing, that all advertise it for the coffee stuff and all the rest of it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the man in there is not preaching the gospel, it's dead. Come out from amongst the monuments and the tomb. Come to where there's life. Jesus Christ didn't remain in the tomb. And as a brother prayed this morning, he's not on the cross. And he's not in the tomb. He's risen. Hallelujah. And we're here tonight because he's risen. And let me say in this meeting this evening, and there'll hardly be another meeting house in this country, say it. But they'll not know about it. And if they do, they'll not want to mention it. God in the 20th century proved his resurrection power again. When he come on the scene again in the 20th century, God showed himself alive again with signs and wonders and miracles, and knew the very secrets of men and women's hearts. God done it. And I tell you, I agree with T.L. Osborne. And T.L. Osborne said, why did he do it again? Why? He said, Jesus, when he's here on earth, went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And he said, God, in the 20th century, visited again. Why did he do it again? To prove to us. Because men forget. They forget what God does. God done it again. He done it again. He done the supernatural. He discerned the secrets of men's hearts. God done it again. Proving he's alive and well. He's living tonight. He's not in this tomb and he's not on the cross. He's alive. He's alive. And the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit's with us. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is with us, true people. Matthew 28, 12 to 15. And look what it says. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. They spread the lies, they spread the stories. But Christ's resurrection was well documented. Well documented. According to his own words, Christ is risen. Many times after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto his brethren. We already saw how he appeared to Mary. He appeared to the 10 disciples. And you know, there's so many scriptures I could give you here, but I don't want, for the sake of time, I want to be short tonight. I don't want to keep this long. But you know, he appeared to them 10 disciples. Why did he appear to 10, brother? Because Thomas wasn't there. I can always remember it because I'm Thomas. Old doubting Thomas. Unless I see it myself, I'll not believe it. The Lord appeared to them. But Thomas didn't believe it. But then he appeared again in Matthew 28 verse 17. And he appeared again to 11. Thomas was there. And you can read in John 20, 26 to 29. And you know what he said to Thomas? He says, reach forth and feel the prints in my hands. Feel the prints in my hands. And you see, even these Jews has told a story. And even to this day, as it's said, and I know this is a long time ago when this happened, but the Lord Jesus is going to come back to his own people, Israel. And according to the same book of Psalms and the same prophecies David gave, they're going to say to him, where did you get these marks on your hands? And he'll say, I received these in the house of my friends. That's what they're going to say. That's what he's going to say. He also appeared to those in the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, verse 13 to 31. My, I'll tell you what, they didn't even know him. You say, oh, brother of Adam, and there, I'll tell you, Adam knew him and all. You know, want you to understand, we've buried loved ones, many of us recently, and I told you, if one of them came in onto you this evening, you'd be shocked. Now I'm telling you that right now. And even the experience I had with my own brother, whereas in a dream or what, I can't tell you exactly how it came about. But all I can tell you is that he came onto me. And there he was in the room where I was. And I talked to him and he never spoke one word. He just looked at me and smiled. And every time, and I must have said it, I said it and said it and said it, how did you get here? Sure, you're dead. And he just laughed. Looked at me with a smile and he laughed. And I tell you, you have to understand, and if you can for a moment, I know it's difficult, put yourself in the shoes of these disciples. You have lost a man that you have been traveling with for a long time. A man that turned a wee boy's lunch and fed 5,000 in one place, 7,000 in another place. Everything he touched was miraculous. The world is saying everything you touch turns to gold. How many knows? The world is saying, and there is people that are blessed. And I'm sure somebody here knows somebody, and you know, someone that sat for bad, the next thing comes out good. There's people like that. But the Lord Jesus was a genuine miracle worker. He manifested his Father's power and glory while he was here. And these disciples knew it. And he's been taken away from them. And he's told them, I'm going to rise, but it hasn't sunk in. And he meets them on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to preach to them about Calvary from the Old Testament concerning himself. And then, isn't it wonderful that wee bit's in there? You can read it. I'm not going to read it tonight for time. Then they understood it was the Lord. The Lord opened their eyesight. Little bit like the fellow was with the prophet in the Old Testament. And he said, look at the multitude. It's just us for ourselves. And the old prophet opened his eyes and he saw a great army. A great army. Elias was it. Or Elijah. One of them two prophets. And they opened the young man's eyes and he saw the multitude of heaven. Look at the times when Israel has been against the enemies trying to wipe them out, and God has sent a supernatural army And even sometimes the people of Israel didn't even know it. But the enemy saw this army. And here, there's withholding from them that it's the Lord. Then he opens their understanding. And let me tell you this evening. Sometimes we're critical. We condemn people. Maybe they can't see the truth in water baptism. Maybe there's other doctors that don't see it right away. And we're hard on them. But don't you know the night they'll never see nothing unless God shows them. It's not the preacher that shows you anything. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Lord that opens our understanding. The eye salve of the Holy Spirit. And blessed are we when we see these things. We're blessed. And it's only the Lord can show us. Even on things we think's not a big problem. Maybe somebody else can't grasp it. And I'll tell you, arguing with them and never show them it. Secrets to come about it like Jesus would. Amen? Now I'm talking about genuine people. I'm not talking about scribes and Pharisees. But I'm talking about maybe somebody that's really saved. But they don't see some things. We can't shove it down their throat. Only God can show them. The Lord opened these disciples' eyes. 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. He appeared to more than 500 brethren at once. After he had risen. I'm going to read one more scripture and then I'm closing. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. And I mentioned this Thursday night. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The illegal actions of the Jewish leaders brought about the death of Christ. But those actions also brought about the completion of the resurrection and the atonement. They were blinded. And they didn't know what they'd done. Is that right? And we know that he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan and God's will that Jesus went the whole way to Calvary. God's plan and God's will. And he's risen tonight. And he loves you. He loves you. And he's coming again for us. I don't know if you've heard that before about the leap year and all them things. And you might have a different idea, and that's fine if you have. We'll not fall out on it. But I believe it explains it. And I tell you one thing, God's good, isn't he? God is good. But I tell you, I believe it was 3 days and three nights. I don't believe it was two and a bit. God raised him up. Tomb was empty. There was the cloths laying when they went in, but he wasn't there. It changed. Changed and all. Clothes were left lying. Resurrected. Hallelujah. And I tell you, one day we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Praise God. You pray first for Thursday night. Now we're going to have to. John's inspired me in his prayer this morning. You say, what do you mean? Well, we've had the crucifixion. We've had the resurrection. Now we'll have to go to the next bit. Pentecost. That's what's next after it. There never could be a Pentecost till there's a Calvary. But there was a Calvary. And then there was a Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's outpoured. And may the Lord send the Holy Ghost on us. Let's bow our heads this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. The tomb's empty. The cross is empty. You're risen tonight. The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. Lord, we know and believe that you're coming again for your people. That you will have a bride that's made herself ready. But thank you for the oil. Lord Jesus, I pray this evening that you'll just bless us the remainder of this service. Bless and strengthen your people. Do them good. This week, some's off on a break, give them a real good time. Give them your strength and grace and meet every single need. Bless all the mothers and the fathers. Move on all of our family circles, Lord. I pray for the Bruce family this time, Lord, for the sister that's not well, that you'll touch her and save her above all, Lord Jesus. And Father, for others, Sister Ruth Sandys, touch them and heal them and save them. Maybe others that's not mentioned in this house. Father, we think of our own children that's not serving you. We ask for them. We ask for them that the Holy Spirit will work on them and deal with them and move upon them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Bless us now. In Jesus' precious name. God bless each one. Praise God. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Well, I believe it anyway. You know, I remember a few years ago now, but I used to talk about Good Friday, and it did not up. So I've done a little bit of investigating. Praise God. You know, one of the things I liked about it was, you know, in the Bible, the days and the Jewish days begin with the evening, and the morning was the first day. On Thursday evening, Friday morning was the first day. Friday evening, Saturday morning was the second day. Saturday evening, the resurrection morning, that was the third day. And he rose on the third day, praise God. As our brother said, the scripture in Jonah would have to be completely ignored. And that's what it was. The high day was that Sabbath. Not every Sabbath, but that Sabbath was in high day, praise God. That's wonderful, praise God. Unfortunately, Tommy, we'll not be here this Thursday evening because we are heading away ourselves. So I don't like to tell you to hold off. That breaks up with everything. But I'm not going to say it. We'll listen in the recording if I have to. But unfortunately, we'll not be here. We're going away for a couple of days ourselves. But the Lord bless you. If you can come, please come along and support the fellowship during the week. Can we try and sing that little chorus? Blessing, glory and honour, power and might and dominion be unto thee, art my blessed Lord. Coming down from his throne above, he died on the cross for me. Rising from the dead, he lives to give us the victory.
Blessing, glory and honor, power and might and dominion be unto thee, my blessed Thank you.
Brother Mark, if he'll close in prayer for us, praise God, let's bow our heads.
Lord, we thank you once again this evening, Lord, that you rose again, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You conquered death, hell, and the grave. Lord, because of that, we can live also, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
The way it's made for the whosoever, Lord, for whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. Lord, our prayer tonight is once more for our loved ones, for our family, for our friends, that know not you as their own and personal Savior. Our prayer is that you will send your Holy Spirit, convict them of their sin, show them their need of salvation. Lord, for those maybe that heard this service, Lord, we know that your word won't return void. Lord, we make a broke up the fallow ground, but you give the increase, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for every need here that's been mentioned, for those that's not mentioned, Lord, ask them now, we ask in your name. Lord, we pray, Lord, that for our pastor, that they would stand, give them his heart's desires. We thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for the words this evening. We thank you, Lord, for being a blessing upon us. We thank you for the service this morning also. For all who attend these services, we pray your blessing upon them. Keep your heart upon us. Lord, we pray even for this week, Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll have good weather, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
For those that might be off, Lord, we just enjoy, have a time of fellowship and enjoyment, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just be refreshed, Lord. Lord, in the natural we may be refreshed, but Lord, refresh us once more in the Spirit.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, baptize afresh with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray now as we go to our homes. Grant us traveling mercies. Take us home safely. Keep your hand upon us until we meet again. We're sinning through your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord bless you. I'll see you God.